Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
I'm Terry Bell, and here's what you need to know in Wisconsin. The construction worker who was injured while working at Lambeau Field last week has died. Mavid Construction says in a press release that the worker was critically injured on Thursday and died at the hospital on Saturday. The Packers and Mavid Construction are not releasing the worker's name until the investigation is over, but the company says his father and brother also work for Mavid. A spokesperson says the employee was an organ donor. The future of higher education in Wisconsin is a hot topic of discussion lately and a state Senate committee hearing today. State lawmakers want to cut funding for diversity efforts in the University of Wisconsin system. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss dismisses diversity, equity, and inclusion as, quote, the left's new religion. But UW System President Jay Rothman says DEI is actually important for retaining students and supplying Wisconsin's workforce with college graduates.
And that's, you know, historically underrepresented groups. That's veterans, that's disabled students, that's first-generation students, that's people of different ideologies, political or otherwise, that's different religions. We have to create that inclusive environment so that we can recruit them, so that they can feel that they belong in our universities, so that they stay and they graduate. Because at the end of the day, that's what's important to our state.
Rothman on Upfront on Channel 12 in Milwaukee. The shared revenue bill already bans state money for DEI at the local government level. Governor Evers says he'll veto the entire state budget bill if lawmakers strip funding for UW system DEI. Today is Juneteenth. Pete Schwabe reports.
Juneteenth is a federal holiday. Banks, the post office, and stock markets are closed today. But Wisconsin is not one of the 14 states which have given Juneteenth holiday status. Meanwhile, Governor Evers says Juneteenth is a day of celebration and of reckoning.
We also recognize and acknowledge the work that we have left to do to truly realize goals for a more equitable and just state.
Juneteenth marks the day in 1865 that the last enslaved black people in the United States learned of their freedom under the Emancipation Proclamation. Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
It's been a week since searchers started looking for 13-year-old James Leblonsky in the woods near Baraboo. The Sauk County Sheriff says James ran away from home with one of his father's guns and a survival book last weekend. The sheriff's office says they found two campsites, but so far, no sign of James. And the weather's getting warm enough to kill more fish than normal. The Department of Natural Resources is reminding people out on the water to report fish kills to their local DNR fish biologist. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell. News time is 5:03.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. The Wood County Sheriff's Department arrested a suspect today in the hit-and-run that happened on Friday on George Road in the township of Seneca. 30-year-old Cody Provost from Wisconsin Rapids admitted to investigators that he thought he had hit a mailbox, but later found out it was a person. He also concealed the damage to his vehicle and fixed it. Provost is being held at the Wood County Jail on charges of hit-and-run causing an injury and obstructing an officer. The 34-year-old woman was walking on the shoulder with a young child when she was hit and injured. She is in stable condition and being treated at Marshfield Medical Center. The small child was not physically injured. The Rafters begin the first of 5 games away from home tonight, beginning with the first of a 2-game series with the Woodchucks in Wausau. Following that, they head to Green Bay to take on the Rockers. Their 5th away game will be against the Fond du Lac Dock Spiders on Thursday. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
The Brewers are back on top. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers signed veteran outfielder Raimel Tapia last week from the Red Sox. And during yesterday's game, it looked like he had just hit a grand slam to center field.
First ball swinging, a drive into center field. On the run is Bay, still going back. And it is caught at the wall. In to score, Adama. Ellis.
Brian Anderson on Bally Sports Wisconsin. The Brewers coming back to beat the Pirates yesterday 5-2. After giving up two runs in the third, Brewers starting pitcher Freddy Peralta settled in.
I was a little struggling the last couple of starts, but today I was feeling good.
Peralta went on to strike out 9. He retired the final 12 batters he faced. Craig Counsell.
I was really proud of Freddy. Obviously struggled through the inning, threw a lot of pitches through that inning that he gave the homer in, and then he put up zeros, and that's it's 2-0. It's early in the game. We got a lot of outs still, and he put up a bunch of shutout innings, and we had some shots or some men on third situations we didn't cash in on early, but eventually put a big inning together.
Milwaukee's Luis Urias on the come from behind win at home in front of 38,000 fans.
Yeah, we do our best. We try to be present and play well, win every play, and coming from behind, it always feels amazing.
The Brewers completing a 3-game sweep.
Yeah, it was a great series. I think everybody played very well defensively, and our pitching staff, they did great. I haven't seen the standing, to be honest, but we're back in first, and I feel pretty good beating the Pirates, that they've been playing very good baseball. And, facing the D-backs, things it's gonna be fun.
The Brewers are back in first place, a half game ahead of the Reds, 2.5 above the Pirates. They open a 3-game series tonight against the Diamondbacks. Corbin Burns against Arizona's Merrill Kelly. Game time, 7:10. That's sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening.
3, 2, 1.
Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Big Monday edition, the Juneteenth edition. The happier happy hour. Dom, some troubling news. CBS Channel 58 out of Milwaukee. There is a large police presence near MLK and Chambers in Milwaukee Monday afternoon. They do have a crew at the scene. And reporter AJ Bayatpour is reporting breaking huge police presence at MLK and Chambers outside the Juneteenth teen zone. Multiple witnesses tell me there's been a shooting with multiple victims. That is the breaking news in the last 9 minutes out of Milwaukee on Twitter. AJ Bayatpour reporting there, and CBS 58 News. So, another day, another shooting. 844-967-2789. But Dom, we anticipated starting the hour talking about the fact that the former president of the United States, perhaps should have been charged, should have been investigated, but the Washington Post has an exclusive report. The FBI resisted opening a probe into Trump's role in January 6th for more than a year, Dom.
Wow.
More than a year. And what was the rationale? I mean, this is a very comprehensive article. And as I understand this, and I'm going some based on the fact that you've read it all and I've only skimmed parts, but from your explanation, Dom, this does not seem to be some effort to protect Trump per se. This is more of a concern about the perception that the former president being investigated. Well, this is what, Dom? How would you characterize this? Where do we go from here?
The reporting, again, a fantastic piece at the Washington Post, Carol Lenning, Aaron Davis reporting. We'll get to it. Let me just read a couple of paragraphs or kind of introduce this, lay it out for you. We're not going to get through this whole piece, but we'll get the gist out. Hours after he was sworn in as Attorney General, Merrick Garland and his deputies gathered in a wood panel conference room in the Justice Department for a private briefing on the investigation he had promised to make his highest priority, bringing to justice those responsible for the attack on the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. In the 2 months since the siege, federal agents had conducted 709 searches, charged 278 rioters, and identified 885 likely suspects, said Michael Sherwin, then acting U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia, ticking through a slide presentation. Garland and some of his deputies nodded approvingly at the stats, and the new attorney general called the progress remarkable, according to people in the room. Sherwin's office, with the help of the FBI, was responsible for prosecuting all crimes stemming from the January 6th attack. He had made headlines the day after by refusing to rule out the possibility that President Donald Trump himself could be culpable. Quote, "We are looking at all actors, not only the people who went into the building," Sherwin said in response to a reporter's question about Trump. "If the evidence fits the elements of a crime, they are going to be charged." But according to a copy of the briefing document absent from Sherwin's 11-page presentation to Garland on March 11th, was any reference to Trump or his advisors, those who did not go to the Capitol riot but orchestrated events that led to it. A Washington Post investigation found that more than a year would pass before prosecutors and FBI agents jointly embarked on a formal probe of actions directed from the White House to try to steal the election. Even then, the FBI stopped short of identifying the former president as a focus of that investigation. And here's the deal. A wariness about appearing partisan, institutional caution, and clashes over how much evidence was sufficient to investigate the actions of Trump and those around him all contributed to the slow pace. Garland and the Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco charted a cautious course aimed at restoring public trust in the department, while some prosecutors below them chafed, feeling top officials were shying away from looking at evidence of potential crimes by Trump and those close to him, the Post found, Grudy.
In November, this one, I'm starting to steam under my collar a little bit, the appearance of partisanship means that they're going to be, what? They're not going to do their job? Because they didn't want to appear partisan, but let me read.
But they're going to be called anyway. That's the whole point of being nonpartisan. You do the job.
80% of Republicans believe that this prosecution, this Jack Smith indictment, 37 of them against Donald Trump, they think it's political. Thank God you use such caution, Garland.
Yeah, good thing they waited over a year because, you know, that perception was never there then, right?
In November, after Trump announced he was again running for president, making him a potential 2024 rival to President Biden, Garland appointed special counsel Jack Smith to take over the investigation into Trump's attempt to overturn the 2020 election. On June 8th, in a separate investigation that also turned over to the special counsel, Smith secured a grand jury indictment against the former president for mishandling classified documents after leaving office. Trump was charged with 31 counts of violating a part of the Espionage Act, as well as 6 counts arising from alleged efforts to mislead federal investigators. Hell, if you read the Mueller report, there's a little accusation there, or 10.
It's kind of like what he does all the time.
The effort to investigate Trump over classified records had its own obstacles, including FBI agents who resisted raiding the former president's home. But the discovery of top-secret documents in Trump's possession triggered an urgent national security investigation that laid out a well-defined legal path for prosecutors, compared with unprecedented task of building a case against Trump for trying to steal the election. Whether a decision about Trump's culpability for January 6th could have come any earlier is unclear. It could have, should have. Sorry, had to clear my throat there a bit. The delays in examining that question began before Garland, before Garland was even confirmed. Sherwin, senior Justice Department officials, and Paul Abate, the top deputy to FBI Director Christopher Wray, quashed a plan by prosecutors in the U.S. Attorney's Office to directly investigate Trump associates for any links to the riot, deeming it premature, according to 5 individuals familiar with the decision. Instead, they insisted on the methodical approach, focusing first on writers and going up the ladder. Well, it's Jacob's ladder, man. It is a long-ass ladder. The strategy was embraced by Garland, Monaco, and Wray. They remained committed to it even as evidence emerged of an organized, weeks-long effort by Trump and his advisors before January 6th to pressure state leaders. They didn't know that? We knew it,
Everybody knew it. Read the paper. Justice officials and Vice President Mike Pence to block the certification of Biden's victory. In the weeks before the January 6th, Trump supporters boasted publicly that they had submitted fake electors on his behalf, but the Justice Department declined to investigate the matter. In February of 2021, the Post found, the department did not actively probe the effort for nearly a year, and the FBI did not open an investigation of the elector scheme until April of 22, about 15 months after the attack. Did I mention I'm getting a little hot under the collar now? The Justice Department's painstaking approach to investigating Trump can be traced to Garland's desire to turn the page from missteps, bruising attacks, and allegations of partisanship in the department's recent investigations of both Russia's interference in the 2016 presidential election and Hillary Clinton's use of a private email server. Inside Justice, however, some have complained that the Attorney General's determination to steer clear of any claims of political motive has chilled efforts to investigate the former president. You couldn't use the T word. I think that's the Trump word, right, Dom? Said one former justice official briefed on the prosecutor's discussions. Troubling, Dom. Troubling. The overly cautious Department of Justice has delayed the investigation of the former president, his co-conspirators, they might rightly be called. The Beltway crew, not the Proud Boys, not the goofballs that rushed the Capitol, but the people that planned it and incited it and funded it. They waited a year so they wouldn't appear political. And now a year and a half later, they finally get around to charging on the freaking Mar-a-Lago. The guy's got war plans in his desk drawer, and still 80% plus of Republicans think that this is a political prosecution.
We waited. In an interview with the Post, Matthew Graves, who succeeded Sherwin as the U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia, cautioned against drawing conclusions about the government's approach while work is ongoing. He noted that 23 of 29 affiliates and members of the Oath Keeper charged in connection with the attack had been convicted so far, several for seditious conspiracy, the first such convictions since 2009. A quote from Graves. I hear everybody kind of wants everything to go faster.
Yes. Said.
But I think if you kind of look at this in historical perspective, what the department has been able to achieve, I think when people get some distance from it, it will stand as something unprecedented. Still, there were consequences to moving at a slower pace. For many months after the attack, prosecutors did not interview White House aides or other key witnesses, according to authorities and attorneys, or some of those who have since been contacted by the special counsel. In the meantime, in that time, communications were put at risk of being lost or deleted, and memories left to fade. Oh, fading memories.
Everybody kept asking, where the hell is the FBI?
Well, we were asking it. And where are the attorney generals from the states? Josh Call, our pal here from Wisconsin. Apparently, if your explanation to us was to say that, well, the feds are on it. Well, the feds weren't on it, man. So Dana Nessel, the AG from Michigan, maybe she got a heads up that the feds weren't on it, so she got a little more rambunctious about it. I'd like to see some of that energy coming out of the AG's office here in Wisconsin.
Well, it was June of 22, actually, and that would be after the actual investigation started, sometime early in 22, you know, like a year and a half after the crimes were committed. Well, the DOJ, by then, you know, not to defend Josh Call unnecessarily, but that's when he told me it was multi-jurisdictional and a DOJ problem. And Isho Zahn, the district attorney of Dane County, told me last weekend at the DPW, not at La Crosse, you know, the good one up in Green Bay I was at, told me.
Look up cheese curds, you'll find this basic definition, wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic proteins. 13 strands, rub against the enamel of your teeth, and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, so did you guess it takes 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of curds? Now we want to know your favorite and where do you get your squeaky or deep fried curds? Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Apple pie, fireworks, parades, red, white, and blue. Civic Media loves 4th of July, and we hope you do too. Would your business benefit from reaching hundreds of thousands of radio listeners? Show your American pride by helping sponsor radio promos, celebrating Independence Day, listing safe fireworks displays, and honoring military veterans. If your business would like to be involved, email your name and phone number to info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303. Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Lows around 58 tonight under mainly clear skies. Winds out of the east, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly sunny skies and calm again tomorrow. Highs level off around 85. Lows dip down to about 58. Tomorrow night, clear skies. Dry with temperatures a bit above average. Wednesday and Thursday, and highs from the mid-80s to the upper 80s.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 86.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio. Warning, listening to the devil's advocates may expose you to opposing views. In my
eyes, in this world, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Thank you for listening to the greatest radio show ever. Make sure you check out the new and shiny, super cool app, civicmedia.us. Go to your app store, find Civic Media, of course, on the phones right now, 844-967-2789.
Dom, the New York Sun, or New York The Sun, reporting Jack Smith now expected to pull the trigger and charge Trump with January 6th offenses. And the source of that information, former Attorney General Bill Barr. Here's what Barr is saying. General Barr defends, former Attorney General Barr defends the Mar-a-Lago documents indictment and predicts the special counsel will also indict Trump for crimes related to the attack on the Capitol on January 6th. With special counsel Jack Smith's 37-count indictment relating to a trove of classified documents stored in a Mar-a-Lago bathroom, right, Dom? Stored at Mar-a-Lago presents its own distinct legal peril to President Trump. It also appears to have brought into focus the stakes of another criminal investigation, this one with respect to the attack on the Capitol on January 6th. Now, Dom, I keep telling you, this is the investigation I care the most about. And that's why I'm steaming under the collar when I find out the highest levels. Lisa Monaco, the former Attorney General, Merrick Garland, they were dragging their feet. They were making every effort not to appear partisan by not doing their jobs in a timely or effective fashion. And now, years later, they're getting around to it. But here's what Bill Barr says. That, at least, was the impression thrown off by the comments of Attorney General Barr made over the weekend to CBS's Robert Costa, where America's former top law enforcement official mused that charges for January 6th will be a hard case to make, but that nevertheless, he expects Mr. Smith will pull the trigger on an indictment this summer. I've never wanted something Bill Barr said to be more true than that, Tom. Those comments came in an interview where Mr. Barr called his old boss a fundamentally flawed person who engages in reckless conduct that leads to situations, calamitous situations like this, which are very disruptive and hurt any political cause he is associated with. He also called Mr. Trump's behavior indefensible and compared him to a 9-year-old kid.
Oh, now you do it. Now you do it, Barr. Now you get around to it. Couldn't do it to his face.
Well, he didn't.
A little bit here from the Sun, another alumnus of the Trump administration.
Let's not forget Barr resigned just before Christmas, just before the January 6th actually came to fruition, after Trump had lost the election, and when they were plotting to steal the election back, that's when Bill Barr said, I'm outie.
Yeah, there's great leadership. Don't let the door hit you in the ass. Let the lunatics run the asylum. John Kelly, a one-time chief of staff, recently opined that Trump was scared crapless by Mr. Smith's indictment, which levels charges that could result in decades in prison. Trump fired back on his truthy social. John Kelly pretended to be a tough guy, but was actually weak and ineffective, born with a very small brain. He said Kelly was a mummy who sat in his office and stared at the ceiling. Barr's prediction of an indictment related to January 6th, Mr. Smith's second purview is to investigate, quote, whether any person or entity unlawfully interfered with the transfer of power following the 2020 presidential election or the certification of the Electoral College vote, suggests Palm Beach could be the beginning, not the end, of Trump's legal travails.
844-967-2789. I hate to do it. CJ, defend away, man. Tell me why Donald Trump ain't guilty of anything ever.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking
Hello, my CJ.
Call. We got a lot of great candidates on the Republican side, so we're having a
not for U.S. Senate in Wisconsin.
We're having debates. Now, someone's got to tell this president that the queen has already died. God save the queen. I mean, have you seen 70% of Americans don't want Biden to run? At what point does your party realize that this guy has lost it? He's done. And you.
Well, that's why there's a primary season, and that's why there's a general election, CJ. Let's talk about your guy for a minute.
You guys won't even
how are you feeling right now? When people say that the Biden department has weaponized, quote-unquote, the FBI, you know, those hippie liberals over at the FBI, you know, Department of Justice, those guys are just so woke they can't get anything done. They sat on their hands, CJ, because they were concerned that people like you would think they were acting politically by following the facts and following the information and investigating what was in open air right at the time. So what is your opinion? Should the Department of Justice investigated Trump earlier, CJ?
Oh, yeah, they haven't tried to investigate him long enough already. Well, they sure did. They buried the 1023 form and hid that. Christopher Wray, it is politicized. And
who's Christopher Wray? I mean, that's a Trump appointee, right, CJ?
Comer.
Right. Right, CJ? Christopher Wray is a holdover from Donald Trump, correct?
He's a Trump appointee. So you're saying he's politicized against the guy that appointed him?
Yeah, he is.
Oh, he turned over.
Well, you know, they brought Brennan in. They brought Clapper in. They've had to testify because the 51 liars. That
everybody lying,
you know, and now Adam Pencil Neck Shift is going to be booted out of Congress. We can only
Republicans of conscience would not take that up. Like 20 Republicans voted against that, CJ, and the fact that, you know, 180 Republicans voted for it just tells me what a craven party that you claim.
Everything you need to know. Here's the deal. In my opinion, looking at this, yes, an abundance of caution. Okay. Took a year and a half. Okay. Now, Republicans, say it with me. This is not a weaponized FBI. If anything, they were overly cautious. If anything, they were too concerned about acting like a weaponized FBI. So you can just put that one aside. And if Jack Smith comes through and this trial gets up and down prior to the election, well, timing was perfect and all is forgiven. 844-967-2789. Coming back with your calls.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 3 to 4.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Welcome to Stone Age Gem Mineral and More.
Hi, I find myself worrying a lot at work.
I have a stone to help with that.
Really? My anxiety has been through the roof lately.
I have a crystal for that. Stone Age Gem Mineral and More is here for you. Find a natural solution to your everyday needs. Customize your healing with the help of knowledgeable staff. Find us on Facebook and start your healing journey today. Stone Age Gem Mineral and More. We have a crystal for that.
If you're searching for a lawn service that delivers exceptional results, S. Johnson Lawn Service is at your service. With years of experience in the industry, their team specializes in custom designs and complete remodels. And S. Johnson Lawn Service is now hiring drivers and a licensed fertilizer technician. They're also willing to train. Visit sjohnsonlawnservice.com or call 715-305-4729 today for a free estimate. That's 715-305-4729. S. Johnson Lawn Service. Quality landscaping and design services at competitive prices.
Could there be a better name? Auto Value Parts Stores. They aren't just about air fresheners or fuzzy dice. Auto Value Parts Stores are all about parts, auto parts, and advice. Pros who know auto parts with tons of tips when you need them the most. You want real value? Don't go to a place with a cute name. Go to Auto Value. Could there be a better name? I didn't think so. Your Auto Value Parts Store. We've got the parts, we've got the smarts.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of insane out there. In roller derby, it's not a game, it's a bout. And each jam is filled with insane drive blocks and rushing soul crushes that rip shivers through your toe stocks. Pace line, pivot line, jam a grand slam, whip a scoring pass, or you're down with rink rash. Yeah, there's a whole lot of insane out there. And every Wisconsin roller derby girl knows to be insanely good on the flat track, you can't be insanely drunk. And if you can't be drunk on those wheels, you'd be super insane to roll drunk on your car's wheels. So take it from Wisconsin's best jammers, blockers, and pivots. When it comes to driving,
drive sober on the road,
no matter how many wheels you roll.
Because you can't lap the pack with an OWI riding your back. So ladies and guys, drive sober or get pulled over. And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways. Download the free Drive Sober app with a Find a Ride feature, awesome videos, and more at WITrafficSafety.org.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
Lobs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, so did you guess it takes 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of curds? Now we want to know your favorite and where do you get your squeaky or deep-fried curds? Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Ensure yourself a brighter future with help from insurance agent Stephanie Morales. Stephanie's passion is educating families on affordable, sufficient coverage along with using your insurance for emergencies to major purchases while you're live. Book a free insurance consultation with Stephanie Morales today at stephaniemorales.net or call 414-791-0124. That's 414-791-0124. Call today to begin that brighter future.
I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates. And stops my mind
from wandering. Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, rolling through the big Monday Happier Happy Hour, the Juneteenth edition. And people are asking, do you guys really read the text? I do now. If you use the new app-based text, I read them now because they come to my phone now. Now I can read them. Someone from McGuanago says, I'm using the new app right now, exclamation point. Oh, and a couple of comments on CJ. First one, Clay is such a jerk off. The next one, CJ sounds like he's been crying a lot lately. And another, he can't actually respond to the question. That's the problem with CJ. He can't often respond to the question. 844-967-2789. Your questions, your comments, your hot takes right here. Connie from Madison, what do you got for us?
Hey, Connie.
Hi. Hey, thanks for taking my call. You know, when I know Biden has age. He's 80. But Trump just turned 77, so he's not that much younger.
Right.
So at least Biden's been around in the Senate long enough, and he's been president, and has gotten things done. And the only thing Donald Trump did was, you know, give out a big tax cut.
Well, many of his rich donors like that big tax cut, you know, trying to...
Oh, yeah, they love that tax cut.
Pay it forward and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Connie,
yeah.
I don't think Joe Biden gets enough credit for the good work he's done. When you compare these two candidates, let's call them, because they're both running for the same office again, one under multiple indictment, the other from the White House, but... Donald Trump is not exactly the most cogent guy of all time. He's like, man, woman, camera, television. You know what I mean, Connie? When you compare the actual statements made by these respective candidates, I got to tell you, I'm not really impressed with either one, but at least I believe Joe Biden's got a pulse in his heart. I don't know what drives Donald Trump other than love of Donald Trump.
I think that's pretty much it. Even Barr said so. Even, you know, some of his other people said that that's all he's got is for himself. Even his own daughter didn't send up a happy Father's Day.
Well, my kids didn't do much for me either. Is that a sign of a bad father? Because my one kid works at a Mexican restaurant. Not the authentic kind, but, you know, the chain kind. And he said, Dad, I'm feeling kind of broke. At 9 o'clock, he came home from his work shift with like a tin of steak fajita, and he's like, oh no, I overpacked it. Happy Father's Day.
He could have made you a handmade card like he did when he was little.
They barely did it then.
Oh my. Okay, well, that's all I had to say.
Well, Connie.
All right, thank you, Connie.
Thank you for listening. You know, the moms get a hell of a lot more respect than the dads do.
Well, they've earned it.
The moms do earn it.
They're
better at the parenting for the most part, at least in my household.
They do all the hard lifting. You know, if men could have kids, there wouldn't be any.
Be our last generation, wouldn't it?
Right.
844-967-2789.
All right. So let's thank you, CJ, for the call. Not really to the point. I think the point is the timing. So, and I appreciate, and certainly, you know, you don't go lightly to investigate a former president, quote unquote. I get that. So you want to make sure and double check and dot all your I's and cross all your T's. Okay. But how many months does that take? How many times does there have to be something where some investigators like, hey, we got this, or hey, we got that. No. Work our way up. So what did that really cost us? Well, it cost time, presumably, obviously time, and presumably it cost some evidence. You know, some of those text streams get deleted, memories fade, things happen. I mean, I couldn't tell you where I was 15 months ago. I'd have to look it up.
I'd tell you where you were. I was probably with
but I'm
you.
Pretty sure if I was involved in an attempted overthrow of the United States government, I might have an idea. I probably would want to try to forget that when the man comes around town. So I can appreciate that. But here's where we're at. Now this lands us right here, as everyone knows, in the beginnings of the election season. And by the time a trial comes and or a conviction, well, what when is that happening? So I withhold all my judgment because we have yet to see how this truly plays out timing-wise. And it could be, as one of the people in the article said, that, you know, history will look at this as a well-done operation, essentially, right? Well, I would only assume that if we're able to get an answer as to whether or not one of the two main front runners of the political parties here in the United States is going to run as a convicted felon prior to the election, prior to debates, perhaps, right? So... That's going to be the tell. Now, and ultimately, the question will be, did that patience, did that caution, was it worth it? We don't have that answer yet.
We were embarrassed, is the quote in the headline. DOJ insiders told reporter they acted on January 6th only after House committee shamed them. Now, I've already seen some pushback on headlines of this sort on Twitter, some saying that the Department of Justice was already well into their investigatory mode, and they just weren't doing so publicly, so we don't know all the timelines. They're not all public. But Sarah K. Burris, a little bit from the Post as well, the Washington Post, revealed the Department of Justice and the FBI were resistant, that's a nice word, to opening a probe into Donald Trump for January 6th for over a year. But reporter Carol Lenning told MSNBC on Monday they were finally shamed into acting when the House Select Committee launched an investigation into the insurrection. Lenning began by explaining that between her and her co-author, they interviewed more than 100 people, and many had assumed that the DOJ was already involved in the January 6th investigation. What her report revealed was that, at the time, it was not. She said the reluctance was because the FBI was afraid of Donald Trump, because so many people had lost their jobs or careers because of the FBI's probe into Trump and the alleged Russia connections during the 2016 election. At the same time, she said, the DOJ was scared that if it went after the January 6th attack, it would appear as if it were going after the Republican Party because so many Republicans were involved. If your entire party is criminals, aren't you a street gang or something?
Well, I mean, if everyone's a criminal, then I guess they should all get investigated.
Now, Merrick Garland and Lisa Monaco embraced the strategy of let's do it like a mob case, Lenning said. Build up from the riot. Figure out if there's somebody higher and higher and higher, and perhaps it will lead to those individuals around Donald Trump, perhaps not. Let the evidence lead us up the ladder. The problem is no ladder between militia members, the Oath Keepers, and the Proud Boys wearing flak jackets and bulletproof vests and carrying bear spray and emails to Mark Meadows or Donald Trump or Rudy Giuliani about convincing state officials to help them create fake electors to swing the election for Trump and away from Biden. As it started to emerge in the summer and especially the fall of 2022, still the DOJ sort of turned its eyes away from this until it became a drumbeat of criticism, news stories, some of them on this story and some of them in my paper, and a groundswell of concern that the January 6th committee was really without the same kind of power as the Department of Justice, uncovering stunning and worrisome and likely criminal acts, she continued. Now, host on MSNBC, Nicole Wallace, pointed to the important explanation she gave about the missing links between the militias and the White House. But it was also true that Trump committed crimes in plain sight, she said. Yes, we've known this. We've heard the tape from Georgia, right? He committed the crime of blocking an official proceeding. Even with the limits to their investigative powers, he committed the crimes of insurrection. I mean, there were criminal acts that were ignored. Lenning said that inside the Justice Department, there are a lot of prosecutors that were more disheartened than angry about January 6th going uninvestigated. She said that there were many at the DOJ that were pressing to investigate the false elector scandal. It was even referred to the DOJ by the Attorney General of Michigan, your girl Dana Nusseldom. Still, the DOJ took a full year and 4 months before it acted.
Ugh.
I think that another really important thing, Nicole, which you have really zeroed in on over and over again, is the January 6th committee's work. The Department of Justice has said to us in different ways, this committee didn't influence us at all, except when you interview people who were right in the thick of it, they said, look, we were embarrassed and goaded into it. It was the work of the January 6th committee that made it impossible for the DOJ to justify its bottom-up strategy, she said. 844-967-2789. Now, I have seen other headlines, tweets primarily, pushing back on that sort of a headline. They're claiming, the tweetbacks, well, you know, the Department of Justice investigating outside of your purview. But if they've done 100 interviews, it's hard to question the comprehensiveness of the reporting at the Post. I'm going to call them the ones with the true insights until I hear it differently from the authors of this piece. 844-967-2789. Pizza Box Mike, also a Civic Media host, Friday night, 7 o'clock, right here outside the Pizza Box. How you doing, Michael?
Hey, Mike.
Not bad, but man, it sounds like CJ needs some OJ instead of vodka and Trump orange. Oh, hey, it's not about that. You know, yeah, sure, it's kind of funny, you know, and you hold your breath every time you see Biden have to step over grass that's like taller than 3 inches. But it's not necessarily about that as it is we need somebody further left of Biden. And I don't know, I'm a little excited. Did you guys hear that somebody is kind of like making a move from the left to maybe take a run at in the primary?
Are we talking about Cornell West or who are you talking about, Michael?
Ooh, man, if Cornell West gets in, that's really going to heat it up. I
well,
like it because you got, you know,
Cornell Kennedy West Jr., may get in.
A little weird.
Cornell West, who actually was a guest lecturer at UW and has some local ties here in Wisconsin. We met Cornell West actually with Jill Stein, of all people.
He was at Fighting Bob in Madison.
He was. And it's, he's talking about running too. As a Green Party candidate, Michael. That would be very troubling for the future of the Biden presidency.
Well, it'd be troubling for probably the whole country because people aren't smart enough to jump on to anything green. They like, you know, I guess smoke haze from Canada. I don't know. But also, you remember I said somebody should run, and it looks like Gavin Newsom's starting to make some noise, too.
No, yeah, Gavin Newsom campaigned with Biden today in California. He was standing by his man.
There you go. Well, that maybe that $600 million for climate change had something to do with that trip today. I guess that's what it was to solid that up. Maybe they were both playing me, huh?
Well, Gavin Newsom, I think, is the future betrothed of the Democratic Party, this party that so wants to fall in love with their presidential candidates. Gavin Newsom's got all the qualities, chief executive of a really big economy in a really big state. He's a handsome guy. He says all the right stuff. He's, I believe, a lawyer by trade. So he's got all the qualifications, and I think he will be the probable front runner if he jumps in 2028. But in the meantime, he's got Joe Biden's back.
Pizza Box, if Cornell West runs as, you know, third party, People's Party or Green Party, whatever the case may be, where would you fall on that? Would you vote for someone like that, or would you stay with Joe Biden and the Dem Party?
Oh, I'll get blamed just like when I supported Bernie over Hillary. You bet, man. I'm thinking about the future, not about, you know, moderation and all that.
But
stuff.
A Ross Perot third party candidacy could toss the election, maybe not to Donald Trump, but certainly to a Ron DeSantis, Mike. Let's not forget the example of the state of Wisconsin. Jill Stein got 36,000 votes in the state of Wisconsin in the 2016 elective cycle. And if you'll recall, Hillary Clinton lost the state of Wisconsin by 21,000 votes. I mean, the margin of loss was much smaller than the number of voters that the Green candidate of the time, Jill Stein, peeled off. And oddly, we saw Jill Stein and Cornell West in a restaurant in Washington, D.C. that night. He might run Pizza Box. Come back with us. Sport Devils Advocates. One last segment for your hot takes. 844-967-2789. I am worried about a third-party run. Third-party run could have disastrous impact for the Democratic nominee. Let's call him Joe Biden.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Mainly clear tonight with lows around 58. Easterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly sunny skies and calm again tomorrow. Highs level off around 85. Clear skies tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 58. Dry with temperatures a bit above average Wednesday and Thursday and highs in the mid-80s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 85.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
You are listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR. Brought to you by Wisconsin River Orthopedics, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Aspirus Health, Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, SNS Distributing, El Cafe, Edward Jones Sky Manning, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, Crescenda Next Home Partners, and Dixon Gun Shop. Stream every game all season long at WFHR.com or through the Civic Media app.
The Rafters and the Woodchucks meet today on this exciting afternoon here at Athletic Park. Rafters head north just about 50 minutes away to take on a Woodchucks team that has been struggling. They're 4 in their past 6. They've lost, so the Rafters looking to take them down today. And good evening, everybody. Joey Fear with you here on WFHR 97.5 FM 1320 AM. Well, Rafters had a game last night where they were not able to win. They lost to Lakeshore by a score of 9-5. It was a game where they led 5-4, basically the entire way through. They were ahead in that game, and then the top of the ninth, Lakeshore had it coming for them. 5 runs for the Chinooks, and the Rafters try to answer in the bottom of the ninth. They had 2 runs of their own, but unfortunately they fell 9-7. So a game where Wisconsin Rapids was looking to take down and sweep the Chinooks ended in a game that was not the way they would have liked to, but they come here today to take on a Woodchucks team that has lost 4 of their past 6 games. They lost against Fond du Lac by a score of 1-0 yesterday. So they're looking to get back on the right foot. The Rafters are as well. 2 teams that have met a couple times in the season. The Rafters lead the series 3-1, but the Woodchucks have not played here at home against the Rafters yet. So Athletic Park, an exciting environment, a lively environment. So Wisconsin Rapids, a team that is starting Hayden Cody up the mound, a 1-0 record for him, a product out of Cal State Northridge. So he's looking to keep going. He's had 6 1/3 innings pitched, allowing 2 hits and acquiring 5 Ks. He's allowed no runs. So he's going to look to continue that today. Cody's going to be getting the start at the pitching position. Levi Jensen back at the catcher. Brendan Bobo will be slotted in at first base. Shane Taylor is going to be moved to second base. Jack Basir at third. He was playing first yesterday, so Basir at third. Garrett Broussard at short. Anthony Gallison at left field. Ty Johnson at center. And Nolan Saylors at right field. So the Creighton product will be slotted in at the right field position. As for the Woodchucks, they're going with Carl Ralem. Ralem, a Coastal Carolina product who's looking to transfer. He's in the portal right now, but he's a guy that has had some work against the Rafters before. He pitched, well, he only pitched about 5 2/3 innings against the Rafters back on June the 6th, allowing 6 hits, 3 runs, and he had 5 strikeouts as well. He appeared in 3 games so far. He's had an 0-2 record, but the Las Vegas product has had 12 2/3 innings pitched of work. He's had 13 hits and 9 runs allowed, but he's acquired 9 strikeouts for a 5.68 ERA. So he's going to be getting the start on the mound. Jake English will be slotted in at catcher. Colin Briggerman at first base. Jesse Donahoe at second. And Brent Witter at third base. Simon Sherry will be at shortstop. And Drew Berklin, a trustworthy outfielder for the Woodchucks, will be slotted in at left field. Dalton Pearson, a unbelievable leadoff hitter. He's had 8 straight games where he's had a hit. So Pearson will be at center. Colby Wallace at right field. And Wallace, the Cal State Fullerton product, who plays his collegiate ball with Bobo and Howitt, Seth Tomczak, and a variety of other Cal State Fullerton guys. So Wallace will be put in at right field. As for the Rafters in their batting order, Nolan Sailors will be getting the start up on the leadoff position. Sailors, Basir, Bobo, Gurvich, he'll be DHing today, and the guy that had three home runs just about two nights ago. So Gurvich will be put in at the four. Garrett Broussard batting fifth. Shane Taylor comes in after. Anthony Gallison right there. Ty Johnson, he's back in the lineup. He'll obviously be slotted in at center field. And then Levi Jensen batting in the nine hole. As for the Woodchucks, Dalton Pearson will be getting in the leadoff position. Brent Witter at second. Drew Berklin batting third. Colby Wallace fourth. Jesse Donahoe at fifth. Colin Briggerman batting sixth. Jake English seventh. And then Simon Cherry in the eight hole. And then batting ninth, Michael McGinnis, who's the DH, batting in that nine hole. So just about 10 minutes away here from these two teams. First pitch slotted in at 6:05. National Anthem coming up shortly here on WFHR. We'll take a quick step aside. We'll be back in a moment. Don't go away. First pitch coming up soon.
We all make promises, big and small, tested over time and distance, tried by circumstances and decisions.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
I do solemnly swear to bear true faith and allegiance.
To help you when you're in need.
To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
To be considerate and caring. Courageous and strong.
For better.
For worse.
In sickness and in health.
To love and cherish.
To be your loving, faithful friend.
Partner.
Child.
Parent.
Neighbor.
One of our most important commitments is to support our nation's veterans. Learn how you can help a veteran going through a difficult time by visiting maketheconnection.net.
Over the past few years, the COVID-19 pandemic has affected how we live our daily lives. Today, we also face a mental health pandemic that threatens our well-being as we attempt to rebuild our social networks and communities.
The pandemic has reminded us to value family, community, and our human connections. However, it has also left many of us feeling more isolated, confused, and alone, struggling to find meaning amid loss and uncertainty.
Today, one in five Americans experience emotional and mental health challenges. But many of us do not understand what we are facing or know how to ask for help.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we understand what you are going through, and we are here to help. Our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. We work every day to eliminate stigma, combat mental illness and substance use disorders, and advance mental health. If you or someone you love needs help, you are not alone. Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
Let's get back to the game here on WFHR.
Back inside Athletic Park as Rafters and the Woodchucks getting set here just about 8 minutes away. And a Wisconsin Rapids team that obviously fell yesterday to Lakeshore, losing 9-7. And they've struggled. They're 10-9. They were 9-6 at one point in this season. They've been 1-3 in their past four games. So fourth in the Great Lakes West Division. They're batting .236. Evan as a team, they have 89 runs and 159 hits. They also have 79 RBIs as a team, but unfortunately they've been struck out 191 times. That's top five in the league, and they've given up 71 runs as well. So they have the best fielding percentage, though, in the league with a .975. So they're looking to continue that today, and they play a team where they were able to take down the Woodchucks. They've outbeat them this year 3-1 on the series. And they, unfortunately, Woodchucks were able to get the last game of the series. The Rafters were three straight against Wausau, and now the fourth, they were able to not take down. They had a rain delay in a game where it was scheduled at 6:35, pushed to 8:45, and then from there, they won on a walk-off. They won 3-2. It was a ground ball from Levi Jensen that eventually sent Jack Gurvich home. So the Rafters won that game. after that, the Woodchucks took it to them, and Wausau spoiled the Rafters. Los Rafters Day was sponsored by La Taqueria. It was Latino night at Witterfield. The Wausau Woodchucks spoiled that. So the Rafters looking to come into here and get some revenge against a Wausau team that struggled as well. They've lost four of their past six games, and they are a team that's, well, right now, they're looking at being a little bit better than they have been, because losing to Fond du Lac, they lost 1-0 in a game. It was just a boring game, and it wasn't a game that they were proud of, because the game before that, they won 11-2. So they're batting .243 as a team. They have 108 runs, 159 hits, and they also have 91 RBIs, but they even struck out 158 times. So against losing to Fond du Lac, that was